Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs. So, you know, God's word is really simple. Sometimes people are put off by, you know, if they were exposed in the first place to the King James Bible by the language, or, you know, they try to start reading it and they get into Genesis and they get so-and-so begot this and so begot that, and, you know, and then they put it down. Or, you know, they read some prophecy like Ezekiel or Daniel and they get all confused. But once you understand the Bible and how it works, it's really simple. And God wants us to know. He wants us to know so we can know Him. We can know His Son, Jesus Christ. And He wants us to have knowledge. He wants us to have wisdom and understanding. So if He wants all those things, why would He make it difficult? It's not a theological puzzle. It's not. Now, it can be intricate at times, but the real simplicity of the word is very clear and simple. And if you keep the simple things in mind, then when you come across something difficult, the clear things will make it plain, right? He gave His word so that we could know, so that we could be wise. And we're going to look at the book of Proverbs a little bit. And the word proverbs, or proverbs, is the English title, and it comes from the Latin proverbia. Wow. The Greek is paroimie, or mie, and it means any dark, sententious. Sententious means terse and energetic in expression or pithy. So any dark, sententious, or pithy saying. Pithy means, you know, short and to the point, but, you know, has meaning. The Hebrew word is mishlei, M-I-S-H-L-A-I, however you pronounce that. And it means, it comes from the word which means to rule, and hence it applies to words which are to rule or govern life. It is not a collection of human wisdom, but of divine rules from heaven for earth. So, the opening of Proverbs, chapter 1, are you there, perhaps? Good. The opening of Proverbs tells us what the book is all about. Interestingly enough, which many times that's true. Now, the book of Proverbs was written in the Old Testament. It was written by Solomon, which we're going to see here in a second. But it's rules on how to live life. So it's very general. And although there may be some specific verses or things pertaining to Israel, it's really mostly applicable to everyone in general. It's words to live by is another way that people describe it. So it says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So that tells us. And this is the first book in the Bible where it is ascribed to someone who wrote it. Okay, so we know who put this together. To know wisdom, so now he's going to tell us what it's all about. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So, as we go through these first couple of verses, this is telling us what the book, the purpose of this book is. Okay, so it's to know wisdom and instruction, perceive the words of understanding, and so on. And this underlies everything in this book. Okay? To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Equity means, well, we could translate it fairness, but it really means uprightness. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The word subtlety is interesting. It can mean prudence or to be careful. But if you look it up, it'll say cunning or crafty. It's used right in the beginning in Genesis. When it talks of Adam and Eve, it says they're naked. They were naked. And that means it's the word for subtle. And then right after that, it talks about the serpent. And it says he was subtle. Same word. So you kind of have to understand this word in light of context. Here, it's in a positive sense, isn't it? So it may mean crafty or cunning, but it's in a positive sense. To give a young man knowledge and discretion. And the word discretion is thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness. So, and it's to give a young man, but, you know, before God's eyes, we're all children, aren't we? So, and although this was written by Solomon, he wrote it how? All scripture is God-breathed, right? Mm-hmm. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, some of this, he talks about how his father taught him, which would have been David. But again, it's still revelation, and David was a prophet. So, a wise man, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Okay? So, it's, you know, wise counsels. Well, the wisest counsel is God and his word, right? And then, you know, wise counsels in the plural would be people that understand the word maybe more than we do. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You know, again, you know, we go back, it means a dark, sententious saying. And, you know, a lot of these are short, aren't they? So that's why they're pithy or they're terse. They're short, but they're to the point. And a lot of times they have great meanings. Then it says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there's one of these things where a verse is divided, and the first part is positive, the second one is the opposite, which we see quite a lot in Proverbs. But it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord means what? It means respect, great reverence or awe. And it says it's the beginning of knowledge. It's not the end of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge. Okay? Because up above in verse 5, it said a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. See? It's not just you learn it and then that's it, you know, but you increase. You increase in your learning. You increase that knowledge. And it's all coming from a respect for God because you want to know your Heavenly Father better. You want to understand how he works in your life, what he's doing, what he wants you to do. And then it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. In other words, he was raised in a house, you know, a godly house where they spoke God's word and taught God's word. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And chains here doesn't mean, you know, you're in bondage, but rather an ornament, you know, pointing out that you're, you know, rewarded for what you do. Okay, so now we're going to go to chapter 4. Having understood this, Proverbs is about learning, about understanding, knowledge, wisdom, how to apply all that stuff. So it's instruction about knowledge and wisdom and understanding and so on. Notice as we go along that many of these verses are in two parts, sometimes saying the same thing or similar thing in a different way. Okay? Now, we saw in that verse before where it was divided in half and one said one thing positively and then it was a negative. We don't really see that in chapter 4, but it does occur throughout Proverbs periodically. So, chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. And the word attend means pay attention. Attend, be attentive. Be attentive to what you were taught. and to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. So he says, I give you good doctrine or sound teaching. That's what it could be translated, sound teaching. So don't forsake it. Don't turn away from it. You know, we used to have a saying, or, you know, a man could hold the word, but the word doesn't hold him. You know, there are lots of people that can quote scripture, but they don't live according to that scripture. They don't, when they make decisions, they don't consider what scripture says or what God says about it. They just go on their sense knowledge. So they may be able to quote scripture, but it doesn't hold them, right? There was a old, I remember in the 1960s, there was a guy that ran Russia, the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev. He came to the UN and he banged his shoe on the table and he said, we're going to bury you. That's what he said. He was reputed, and he spoke this when he came to visit the United States. He had memorized the Gospels. All the Gospels, he had memorized them. You know? But obviously, he wasn't a godly man. Because by nature, or by definition, you know, communism is a godless society. They reject spirituality. It's all about the material world. So anyway, so forsake not my law, forsake not my word. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. That's sweet. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. So your heart is to retain his words, which means what? It's not just in one ear and out the other, right? It's but you take them in and you acknowledge them and you hold them in your heart, in the deepest part of your being. And he says, and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding and forget it not. Wow, that's important. What is wisdom? Well, we were taught that wisdom is the application of knowledge, but it's really the correct application of knowledge. Because you can wrongly apply knowledge too. So it's the correct application of the rightly divided word. Okay, so get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. So, you know, it kind of goes along with what we saw before where it said, don't forsake the word. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now, she refers to what? God's word and wisdom, right? And it's personification. It's speaking of something, an idea, or in this case, wisdom, but it's referring to her, to it as a her, as a she. It's kind of interesting that also evil is referred to as she in Proverbs. So, just the way it is. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wow, that's pretty important. And wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The NIV translates this verse, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. It's pretty important, isn't it? God says it's really important, and we're to put our efforts or diligence into it. You know, in the New Testament it says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God. And that means to be diligent. So this is really a great thing to keep in mind. Verse 8. Exalt her, wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So, you know, exalt means to esteem or promote. And it will bring thee to honor when thou dost what? Embrace her. When you embrace something, what? You know, you bring it in, you hold it tight. My wife and I were leaving my son's house last night, and Stevie gave her a kind of a half hug. She goes, "I want a full hug." That's what we are to do with wisdom. We're to give it a full hug, not a half hug, you know, not a whatever. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wow, that's a pretty great promise, isn't it? It's a great promise. You know, the world looks on sometimes on people and promotes them as being very wise, you know, and if somebody draws a picture, and somebody's supposed to be wise, they'll make him like an old man with a long gray beard and, you know, whatever. But that's not necessarily true. It's somebody that has the knowledge of God's word and knows what to do with it. Greg Earle did a cartoon once, and he had a guy sitting on the top of a mountain, you know, in a robe, like looked like a guru, you know, like that guy that the Beatles had in that time. And he goes, "What's that dance? That's what it's all about? The Hank. Hokey pokey. Hokey pokey. That's what it's all about." But you know, the world is that stupid sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
They just, you know, they'll put great. The words genius, which is not really a good word because it has to do with genie, you know, devil spirits. But the word is so, you know, if you're talking about somebody that's brilliant, it's very overused. Somebody writes one song that's a hit and they go, "He's a musical genius." And then you never hear from him again or, you know. Anyway. Verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." So, you know, if you think about this and you have kids, that's, you know, what you're supposed to do also. You know, this is a great example of how you are to teach your kids and raise them. "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened," which means it won't be hampered. They won't be straitened. "And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." Now that could be literal, but it's really figurative, right? You know, as you're going through life. "Take fast hold of instruction." Take fast hold of instruction. "Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." Wow. You know, a lot of times people, you know, they say, learn by experience. And, you know, experience is important, but it's better to learn first to help guide you through the experiences of life, isn't it? I mean, I went through a lot of pain because I didn't learn certain things, and I'm sure you all did. You know, when you're young, you make rash decisions or stupid decisions because you didn't take the time to learn. You didn't listen to wisdom or have the knowledge you needed, but you thought you did. You know, that's part of growing up, I guess. But sometimes it's a very hard lesson. So take hold, fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. And you see how these verses split in two, but they say the same thing twice to emphasize it. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Saying the same thing two different ways. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And it tells you over and over and over. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. You know, and there are people like that, aren't there? You know, they just got to make mischief. They got to just, you know, do what they can to take advantage. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Again, that's figurative, right? It's just to point out, that's what they live for. That's what they eat and breathe, is wickedness and violence. And yet, you know, people think, well, peace on earth. You know, you can just allow people to do whatever they want, anytime they want. Just, it's a crazy world. Okay. Where was I? 18. But the path of the just, in contrast to this wickedness we just read about, but the path of the just, or the righteous, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It says in Philippians that we are the lights of the world, right? We are the lights of the world. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. You know, that's true. You know, people that have a tough time in life and just make the bad decisions, and they wonder, why does this always happen to me? You know, take time, sit down, and examine what you do about the stupid decisions you make, and you'll understand why it always happens to you, because you do the same thing over and over and over, right? It's really great to see when somebody does figure it out and they realize and they turn to God, you know, and maybe some of us were like that, and we certainly know people like that, that, you know, God's word is the answer. That knowledge, that understanding, that wisdom makes all the difference. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Pay attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Saying the same thing twice, right? You know, bend your ear. Pay attention. Listen closely. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And, you know, here we understand, you know, that heart thing, how important the heart is, the center of your being, what you put into your brain, in your mind, and what you hold there. It's where the issues of life are. That's where we believe, and that's where fear is so deadly. You know, it's the heart. So what do we want to put in our heart? We want to put God's word in there, and we want to retain it in our heart. We want to hold it there, because that's where the issues of life come from. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. And, you know, sometimes we say things without thinking, and we repeat things of the world, not meaning anything or not even giving it any significance. But if you do that enough, it's getting into your mind and into your heart. So, you know, we need to discipline our minds and our mouths about what we say and how we say it. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, and what are we to focus on? We're to focus on God and his word, right? Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. There we are. So that's Proverbs. You know, Proverbs is about wisdom and knowledge and how to live life. And right in the beginning, it tells you what it's all about. And it's just, it's a great book to read, but it's a great book to put into a practice and application. It talks about raising children. It talks about marriage. It talks about what men and women are to be like in their lives in a practical sense. It's really great. So that's what I wanted to share today. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. For what a great God you are, how you just make your word so beautiful and so simple. And you know, there's a lot of repetition in there, but that's because we're so stupid and we need it so much. Because repetition is the key to learning. And the more we hear it, the more it sticks to our mind and gets into our heart. Just like your manifestations, every time we hear them, we say a lot of the same things over and over to us because we need to hear it so much. So we just thank you, God, for having patience and the love to teach us and to show us and to guide us, and that we can be the best we can be for you. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.